you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys are there to be seen. Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk the cab driver, John Kennedy, about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast-iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oi, how you doing, John? All right?
You're not bad at all.
Right, now, Talk the Walk's a bit delayed, but you had a big fare yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
To Dublin?
That's no. I wish it was, but I mean, it weren't bad. I mean, how can we put this? We've had a really interesting week, the London cab trade. Mm-hmm. A lot of drivers, I mean, through what I've been involved with, London Taxi Cab Public Relations, London Taxi Drivers Forum. When you mentioned gloom and doom, there's a guy there, another one, disgruntled. These are just great names, and, Thomas the Taxi, many others, ACAB, Easy, Metro Pete, and these are all guys that are coming together via the web.
Right.
And they're concerned about their futures.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned about the economy. Concerned about illegality happening out in London on a nightly basis. And certain venues last night were, I wouldn't say targeted, but drivers were encouraged as individuals to turn up and provide an excellent taxi service. And they did. And they did. And they did. And I did. And it was fantastic. I've got to say hats off to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's moments in your life where you feel proud. And it was one of them last night. And again tonight.
And so this is, because you've talked about this illegal touting, you know, people there.
Yeah, people forming the legal Hackney carriage, mate.
Right, the Hackney carriage, the black cabbies have gone out there and taken over. Any problems? I mean, the police, they okay?
Well, seemed to be. I mean, they moved, there's a certain club in the city of London called Abacus, and everyone was moved off there last night because it was roadworks, but... really, really smart traffic copper there last night allowed London taxi cabs to sit on a bus stop that was out of use and to provide a taxi service. I mean, you've got to congratulate an officer that uses initiative. People want taxi cabs want fares,
mm-hmm.
You marry the two up. What shouldn't be happening is lines of cars ranked up illegally and the authorities doing nothing. You talked earlier about a story, get yourself down to Tiger, George, when you consider what went on there a few years back,
mm-hmm.
Yet cars are still lined up outside.
I tell you what, I think that might be one that they'll look on in the news. Right, anyway.
Yes, Talk the Walk.
Talk the Walk. Now then, we've been around quite a lot of London, but you're looking at tying this up with a big event this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously yesterday, I should have been in yesterday. Other things had to be, sort of took precedence. So apologies, yeah. I mean, to yourself, obviously, because, it's your show. You plan things out, George, meticulously.
Yeah, every single thing that we do is planned meticulously,
but
Ollie.
I spoke about we were going to go to Queen Square. But again, some of my colleagues yesterday actually went on a little parade in their cabs, they did. And they happened to be around the Regent's Park area. And when you get to the top of Park Road, you get to this really amazing junction. Prince Albert Road, Wellington Road, St John's Wood Road. And Park Road. And there's a wonderful roundabout there. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, I was desperate for a cup of tea this evening. And there's a green shelter on Wellington Place. And if you look on your map, you'll know it's a little green garden. And it's called St. John's Wood Church Gardens. And I was shocked. I've never been in this little garden. There's a green hut on Wellington Place, a taxi shelter.
Right.
There's a rest bay for taxi cab drivers to get a cup of tea. The shelter was actually shut. So I thought I'll take a bottle of water around the corner at St John's Wood High Street, take a stroll through the gardens. I couldn't believe what I found. This was St John's Wood burial ground. I'm actually walking on consecrated ground, and it still is today consecrated. And in the gardens, what you'll find, all of a sudden, these headstones popping up all over the place.
Ooh.
You're walking through a garden.
Is this open to the public?
This is run at the moment by Westminster City Council.
Right.
It used to be a burial ground, dates back to 1807. This is real history here.
Mm-hmm.
And it links, honestly, everything links in. Obviously, the area we're in, we're really close to a big cricket ground, aren't we? The home of cricket.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking a little bit about this, because this is some really interesting stuff. It was 6 acres of land was here, purchased by the St. Marylebone Vestry. Used to be a council in its day, back in the, we're talking 19th century, from a chap called Mr. Walpole era, and the Duke of Portland. So they purchased the land off him for a burial ground, burial site. And they just thought, you know, I mean, you're down in Marylebone, you don't want, you, look, let's be honest, you don't want the cemetery in your own backyard.
Yeah, no. Get up the road there. Up the road. Not well, too far to go.
There wasn't a road.
Oh.
There was no road there. And this is what's so interesting. It was a field. So they, these were talking
hang about between this top bit of Regent's Park and Marylebone was a field.
Back then it was, certainly. And these two fields were known as Great Garden Field and Willow Tree Field.
What kind of year are we talking about here?
We're talking 1807.
That's unbelievable.
Century. Yeah, hard to believe how
only 200 years ago we're talking about one of the, you know, like one of the most populated parts of London was a field. Yep. Amazing.
Well, the church, the little chapel, we'll talk about this in a moment, was designed by a chap called Thomas Hardwick. The church in the ground was consecrated the 24th of May, mm-hmm. 1814, by the Bishop of London. The arrangements now for this ceremony, guess who they were made by? It was a guy who was a vestryman, so he worked with the church, obviously. He's one of these people that would help the parishioners out, you know, help the priest or the vicar, as they say in it. I'm thinking of Catholicism there. His name was called Thomas Lord. There's a clue. The surname. Because this man liked his cricket.
Right.
Would you believe it that he established the cricket ground just over the road?
So Lord's Cricket Ground has got nothing to do with the House of Lords.
No.
See, I always
Thomas
thought
Lord.
That it was like, yeah. It had some connotation of that. It's just a bloke called Lord.
Thomas Lord, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, a vestryman. Obviously, I mean, this guy was, obviously had access to money, I'm sure. I mean, he had access. I mean, he must have understood engineering. But I'll tell you this now. Here's the most interesting thing. Guess who built Park Road to connect Marylebone and the cemetery? Mr. Lord.
Right.
Because guess what? As people got buried there, people need to go to these places. So they built a road.
Right, now, John. Between you and me, I'm interested in this now. Seriously, no. No, I mean, I'm always interested, but this has really flagged me up here because I've got this whole thing. I haven't gone into it too much because it's like I'm sure it's of no interest to people. But I've got this deal where I'm putting out a number of records.
Yes.
And including this particular piece of music here. That's coming out on album 5. Anyway.
I can hear the royalties.
Yeah, they're coming dripping through. Anyway.
My way.
Did you write that piece then?
No, did not sing on it.
I can't hear anything singing here, mate. Right. But one of the albums is a Mickey take of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased. Called Random and Stockworked Released, right? Ha ha ha. And I've been looking for a gravestone to stand by so I can have a picture taken. And you need to have it so you can lock off a camera. So I can stand in one part with a, you know, like with a funeral outfit on. And then they can take another picture with me dressed in a white suit as if I'm the dead one.
Yes.
You know, and that's.
This is it.
This is where I'm going to have it
this
done.
Is it, because they got the. Listen, I'm going to describe the gardens. I'm walking through. I come across this tomb. I haven't just come across a headstone. I'm coming across a full cast, stone cast, just sitting there, thinking, wow. Because that's, you know.
But is this a park or is it a graveyard?
It's a park now.
Right.
It's a park. 50,000, up to 50,000 people were buried on the burial sites in this area. Obviously, it's a lot smaller now. Obviously, it's not 6 acres. Mm-hmm. The council keep the records and index of all those that died. Some are left there. You can just see it. The stones are inside.
And what is the park called?
It's St John's Wood. Right. We're talking St John's Wood Gardens. No, St John's Wood Church Gardens, Wellington Place, Wellington Road.
Right.
Bang opposite Lord's. I mean, it is amazing. Find the Green Hut in Wellington Place. The taxi shelter. You can't miss that. Look like Doctor Who. Rather large Doctor Who's TARDIS. You know.
Yeah.
That sort, but painted green. And there's some public toilets there. You know. Ladies and gents, and then there's an entrance to the park on Wellington Place. There's entrances on Wellington Road, I mean, on all corners,
right.
St John's Wood High Street. But the best entrance to get to is the one by near the Green Hut. When you see the Green Hut, just be a gate to your right. And then you're amazed. I was amazed because, one minute I'm hearing traffic, two, I'm in complete tranquility. And then I could hear children, great children's play air being used by local people. You know, obviously. You know, let them get on with their life. They're enjoying themselves on roundabouts, swings, slides, whatever. But the rest of the park was just wonderful. Nice pathways, nice bit of tarmac in. And then all of a sudden, like I said, you get onto the grass area, you're walking around, and then you're coming to tombstones. And there's some, there's three really important people, Berwick. Well, I say important, I mean important in the sense that things they've done in their life.
Right.
Maybe people that we wouldn't always know about. Now, if you come in from the entrance, I'm said, you look into the west side. So you look into the side where you'll see that funny-looking media centre at Lord's.
Right,
so yeah. Looking towards, and what you'll find is there's a tombstone, and there's a couple of signs about John Sell Cottam. Ever heard of him?
No.
A watercolour painter, just noted for his watercolours. Back in, we're talking, he was born in 1782, died in 1842, probably got pretty good at painting around the 1800, he would have been, you know, when he's at a reasonable age. But this man was a watercolour painter, John Sell Cottam. Then, here's the one that got me, this headstone. I've got a picture of it here, George, on my laptop for you, because this I found quite moving. Private Samuel Godley, 1781 to 1832.
Right.
This man fought at Waterloo. This man fought at Waterloo. And
right,
what's amazing is his headstone. If you look at his headstone, the crest upon it, is his breastplate. A rifle and a sword and the helmet that the man probably would have worn with the feathers or the plumes upon it. And that's just there in a bush, effectively. It's, you know, this might sound odd. I didn't know I'll be honest with you, George. A lot of cab drivers, we know a lot of things, and sometimes people say we know a lot about stuff that you don't really need to know about,
yeah.
Whatever. But this is one of those secrets in London that it shocked me because I didn't know this was a burial site. Yeah, I've had a cup of tea in the hut, I've walked past it, I've used the toilet, but I've never walked in the gardens. Probably like most Londoners.
I'll be in there twice next week.
And that
to scout it out and have the photo done.
That tombstone there. And then the third one
is it free to get into this garden?
Just walk in. Yeah, free. This is run by Westminster City Council. And then Joanna Southcott, 1750 to 1814, a religious visionary.
Right.
Just a religious woman and her tombstone. They were the three noted tombstones. But that one moved me most. I mean, look, because this guy survived, obviously, Waterloo, and probably had tales and stories to tell. And there he is sitting, you know, laid to rest. Samuel Godley. Beautiful, beautiful headstone as well.
Just, yeah.
You know, quite decorative. Obviously, like a military man to his end, you'd say. I mean, and you know, an important part of our country's history, that battle. And there you're linked to, what, the home of cricket and, you know, something else that we're going to come across. So, worth a walk around these gardens. The floral arrangements here I was taken back. I met one of the keepers I did today because as you walk to towards the south,
is
of the
you
park,
reckon it's the same gardeners that do Regent's Park?
Or is no, this would be Westminster City Council.
Right.
Now this wouldn't be
Crown Estate.
Crown Estate, no. And this is impressive. The flower beds. Just when you get down near to the church, you see the back end of the church, you see that dark, bluey, brown brick again, the old stocks you do. This beautiful, curved, leaded window, you know, just wonderful. Emitting a lot of light into a place of worship, which is what you want. You want to see the light you do when, you know, people know that anyway. The floral arrangements here were second to none. The park benches, the way they're laid out, and this is the bottom corner now, right down by Wellington Road would be, and Prince Albert Road. That's where this area is. Just to the left of this beautiful church. So we're seeing the back end of the church, so you can't really appreciate it until you get outside. And it's a busy junction, a mad junction, a crazy junction. You can't actually work out how you're going to cross the road. There's a zebra crossing down on Prince Albert Road, but it's quite a way down.
Right.
So, you know, to get to sort of like Park Road, you've got to go 50 yards to your left, cross the road, and then do 50 yards to your right to get a left Park Road. It's not, I'll be honest with you, not very pedestrian friendly, this junction.
No.
Quite a difficult junction.
It is a busy junction,
yeah,
that.
And it's a busy through fare. But
and it's also, it's quite a striking church there and quite a striking roundabout as well, isn't
it? Well, this roundabout was the floral arrangement here. I mean, again, I'm just amazed, and I was taken back because I've always noted the statue in the middle of this monument. It was only, I've been driving a cab now nearly 14, not driving a Sherbert, a cab, for nearly 14 years.
Right.
Last 3 or 4 years, took a big interest in statues and monuments. This is St. George and the Dragon.
What, in the middle of that Park Road roundabout?
St. George and the Dragon. Remember when we done that talk, the walk through Marble Arch?
Yeah.
And I talked about the man on the horse with his sort of a Grecian looking, that wasn't the Roman helmet.
Yeah.
But it's a very similar helmet. No feathers on it though. Mm-hmm. And he's got his lance, and he has lanced the dragon he has.
Yeah.
His horse is upended. So the horse is on its rear hoofs, upended, and he's lanced the dragon through its throat. Hasn't taken his brain out. It's come out the sidewall, it has. The statue is stunning. But who does it represent? And what does it represent? And who has it been put there for? And I was taken, again, today I was taken back.
See, because it's interesting. I mean, like, we've been talking about St. George. He ain't, you know, like, he's a mythical character, or he's, you know, he's sort of like the reserve. Everybody can have him. You know, he's a patron saint of loads of places. But you found something to shock you about him.
Yeah, because for once, someone's put this wonderful statue. Here we go, George. You know, we've got this picture will be going on to Free London Events.
All right, yeah, we'll plug that in a second. Yeah, right.
But that's a beautiful statue, and it's a very big statue, and it's there to a grateful tribute to the men and women of St. Marylebone, who by their service and sacrifice for king and country freely paid their part in the Great War of 1914-1918 and in the Second World War of 1939 and 1945. And for some reason, I actually think it's befitting, because if you look at that, that's the patron saint of England, isn't it?
Yeah,
we know that is. And that's it, really. The dragon for me is Nazism. That's it. We defeated it. It's over. You know, it's done. We defeated it. And long may it remain. And I was taken back. I didn't know that was there in their honour. And then the backdrop to the church, then, you see, I'm standing in this roundabout taking some pictures around it, the most beautiful floral arrangement. It's like miniature of Queen's Gardens around the Quimpertal Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good job. Beautiful lawn. Don't step on it. Plenty of stone you can walk on. You can get up to this, though. It is the statue. The detail is shocking, actually, on this bronze work. The detail is beyond belief. What I'm impressed with is, you know, obviously a mythical character. Just the casting alone. I mean, it did shock me. And what is really interesting is watching the dragon actually holding on to the plinth, his last moments, you see. And it's like, it was quite moving, actually, to think that someone's thought, no, we'll put them there for them, those great people, two wars. And we're not glorifying war, far from it. We're just saying, well done to those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. But the floral arrangement around it, you know, because the cricket season started.
Yeah.
You know, it
so the rain will be coming very soon.
Very
right?
soon, yeah. But it was just, wow, George, it really
What's
was.
That, what are if you're standing on that roundabout, John, you got like a big thistle hotel on one corner, haven't you?
Well, it's Danubis now, so
right,
this hotel's one of these ones, it keeps changing, it always seems to change hands, it does every 2 to 3 years, like a lot of hotels. You know, because what you've got to you now, if you're looking back at the chapel, which is St. John's Chapel there. If you're looking at it, I mean, big flagpole up, George Cross flying, lovely big columns.
Yeah.
Clock was still on 12, though. I think, I don't know what's gone wrong with the clock. A beautiful clock.
Right.
No, like I've talked about before on clocks, we've noticed the sky blue face. This was a navy blue, dark blue, with gold numerals. Normally it's the sky blue with a golden numeral. So this was slightly different. Lovely tower. And again, just beautiful, beautiful stonework, stone front, big banners out. Nice big drive, plenty of cars parked there. Prince Albert Road to your right, Wellington Road sort of like up to your left and to your north.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can see then Lords UCAN Cricket Ground, the wall of it, and a bit of a monument there to cricket. You notice that new media centre. You notice that, you know what, that horrible tenty thing, that plastic tenting thing they put in places. It's just cheap and cheap.
It's not
befitting a Lords, is it?
Because around this area, I mean, this is where some of the big, big stars live. You know, like Paul McCartney's got a property around here. But what I want to do is, so you got that the Newby Hotel, you've got St. John's Church, and then there's another big building that's kind of like on the other corner there.
Well, we got the big we got the London Mosque, haven't we? Just
is that, that? No, not the mosque.
No.
But it's like on that roundabout. So if you're standing outside of St. John's Church, to your right is the hotel. To your left, which is kind of like on the outskirts of Regent's Park. There's a number of these.
There are the massive mansion blocks down here. This is actually a very, very wealthy part of London. And this area, by the way, wasn't developed until they had built Park Road, by the way.
Nightmare bit of roadworks at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, don't everything around there, George. You know, well, we'll get better water out of it, I presume, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you've got to remember, this area didn't get developed until they had built Park Road. So it's ironic that the cemetery that was built away from Marylebone, a road then was built to allow people to visit the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and obviously to bury people, and then St. John's Wood gets developed into a super area. Because you've got these mansion blocks at the corner here, St. John's Wood High Street, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these are just, I'm not being funny, when you walk now, this is the thing, walk up there and have a look. This is just second to none.
Certainly is, John. You know, it certainly is.
But you know, this is a very short walk.
Mm-hmm.
A hell of a lot.
And it's, I tell you what, it's one that's worked in my favour. John, as ever, mate, yep. Always a pleasure. Shall we get going?
Yes.
Ollie, clip this. We'll put this on the A side of the single. Here we go, then.
Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9.
I tell you what, Ollie, I actually used John's expertise in a bit of filming the other day, but we'll talk about it later. But
talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC
94.9. Oi! Right, okay, John, it's always good to see you. Be back next week. Are we going to Amstead at any point?
No, well, we nearly got
maybe.
Didn't we?
Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9.
Oi! Ah, it's all a cracker, John. It's all a cracker. One, a two, a one, two, three, four. Oi!